Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Las Vegas.
It's more than just a city.
It's a feeling.
It's that feeling of excitement when you spot the lights of the strip out the airplane window.
It's that feeling of awe as you stroll down the boulevard, taking in the sights and sounds.
And it's that feeling of satisfaction knowing that you're in the greatest city in the world.
Over 42 million people from around the world share that feeling every year.
And I'm one of them.
Taking you to the world-famous Vegas Strip and beyond, my name is Jeff, and this is Jeff Does Vegas. Welcome to From the Vault, a special series of episodes of Jeff Does Vegas. Over the 5 years I ran this podcast, from 2019 to 2024, I released over 180 episodes. And along the way, I talked to some very cool Vegas insiders, entertainers, and local experts. I also shared lots of tips and travel advice and explored the fascinating history of the city. I thought it might be fun to take a little trip back in time and reshare some of those episodes. So, whether you're a longtime follower looking for a re-listen, or you're a Vegas fanatic who just happened to stumble across the show, welcome. I hope you'll stick around for this conversation from the vault. As anyone who's ever listened to any of my trip report episodes knows, one of my favorite parts about visiting Las Vegas is the food. Over the last several years, Vegas has become a foodie's paradise, with dozens of new restaurants opening each year, featuring celebrity chefs and every cuisine you can possibly imagine. But you know what? No matter how hard you try, you just can't beat a classic. The Golden Steer, located just off the strip on Sahara Boulevard, is Las Vegas's oldest continually operating steakhouse. The restaurant opened back in 1958, and over the course of its almost 65-year history, has become legendary, not only for its amazing steaks, but for its incredible service, old Vegas atmosphere, and its famous and infamous customers. Joining me for this episode of the podcast is Nick McMillan, managing partner of the Golden Steer. Nick and I talked about the early days of the Steer and how it became a celebrity hangout, the restaurant's place in Vegas mob history, what sets the Golden Steer apart from other Las Vegas steakhouses, and much, much more. Please enjoy my conversation with Nick McMillan of the Golden Steer.
So the restaurant, it originally opened in 1958, so it's one of the, I believe it's the oldest restaurant on the Las Vegas Strip. Might be one of the oldest businesses, quite frankly, in Las Vegas Strip. But 1958, start always been in the same location, right there on Sahara Avenue. And original owners were, had been, in, from my understanding, had been in Vegas for a little bit of time and decided to open the restaurant. And it started from, or started out as kind of like a Western frontier restaurant, as we like to call it. I think there were even some hitching posts out front. And so what ended up happening was folks would go on kind of the wilderness of Vegas. And you can imagine Vegas in the 50s, pretty small town, not a lot of things that had been built out. And so if you didn't have to go far from where the restaurant is located to get out to the wilderness. So folks go out to the wilderness, do some hunting, and actually bring anything that they caught or hunted back into the restaurant, take it back to the kitchen, and the kitchen will prepare it. One of the most notable dishes from that time actually was rattlesnake. So folks would hunt some rattlesnake and bring it in. And we actually, when we celebrated our 60th anniversary a couple of years ago, we brought back some old menu items, and we searched and searched and we tried to find some rattlesnake, but we're unsuccessful at the time to bring it back. But next year we're going to celebrate 65 years. So we might give it another shot.
So then how did the Golden Steer go from being a frontier restaurant where people were bringing in their own rattlesnake for the kitchen to prepare and cook for them to being a celebrity hangout? Because that's one of the things that's really kind of cool about the Golden Steer is that it has this reputation as being a place where celebrities did, and my understanding is still do, come for dinner and come and spend time. How did that transition come to be?
Yeah, so the story goes that, back in the 60s, the Rat Pack, of course, were in town, and one of the Rat Pack members was Sammy Davis Jr., who, because of the ridiculousness of the times, wasn't really invited to stay on the Strip. And so he was driving to North Las Vegas, and at some point, looked over and saw the sign for the Golden Steer, came in. Also at that time, Sammy wasn't invited to, he was generally eating in kitchens. We didn't think that that was right or fair. The owners at the time didn't think that was right or fair. And so invited him to dine in the dining room. And so he did and had a great experience and kind of invited the rest of the Rat Pack to come join him. Which then brought kind of their posse along as well. In the 60s, and it kind of just grew from there, as they like to come up, they were performing at the Sahara and the Sands, certainly Sahara being on the north end of the Strip, and coming over after shows for a late night steak and cocktail. And it's been fun. I've talked to a number of customers that are a little older and have been in the town for decades and remember a number of times of actually being in the restaurant when Frank was there. And it was late at night and he was a couple of drinks in and he was walking around and serenading tables and just kind of, being the entertainer that he was, which, I would give, almost anything to go back and enjoy a dinner to see Frank Sinatra kind of walking around and doing a little bit of impromptu singing. But that was kind of, that was the genesis of kind of how the Rat Pack and of course, Sammy found us. And they all kind of, their booths in the restaurant are all in the same area. So you can easily imagine kind of walking in and seeing them sitting down and enjoying a good martini, or in Frank's case, some Jack Daniels, and enjoying a couple of steaks is easy to see when you walk in, for sure.
I still find it hard to wrap my head around the fact that at that period in Vegas history, Sammy Davis Jr. was running with this crowd, this amazing, this legendary group with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Joey Bishop, and all over town performing. He could go up on stage and perform, but he had to go in through the back door and out through the back door. He couldn't eat in the restaurants. He couldn't gamble in the casinos. It was such a bizarre time of segregation in Vegas at that point. So it's pretty incredible that he was able to find the Golden Steer and almost find a home there.
It is, you know, fortuitous. And I think, you know, there's, we, you know, technically the restaurant is not on the strip, right? We're probably a block off of Las Vegas Boulevard. But, you know, that sign has been there, I think, since the beginning. And so, you know, as you're kind of driving northbound on Las Vegas Boulevard, kind of looking left and right across Sahara, which at the, actually, so the Golden Steer is in Frisco Plaza, which harkens back to Sahara Boulevard. It's called Sahara Boulevard right now, but back when the plaza was built, it was actually, I think it was San Francisco Avenue. I don't recall off the top of my head when the name changed. But yeah, you can kind of imagine looking around and seeing what else is out there. And you know, like I said, the original owner had been in town for a little bit. And of course it was a small town at that time as well. So yeah, just a fortuitous set of circumstances for sure.
We've very briefly kind of hit on some of the celebrities who have spent time at the Golden Steer. Of course, we talked Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, lots of other folks, athletes, actors, performers, entertainers. What were some of the favorite menu items of all of these famous folks that have spent time at the Steer? And are those items still available today?
It's interesting. So the story with Elvis is that when he was first coming to town, you know, he was not quite as popular as he became to be. And so he would actually come in and sit at the bar, which at the time, was not where it currently is. It was actually, off of our main dining room, and he would sit at the bar and enjoy a burger. And after he, you know, of course, continued rocketing to stardom and fame, he then transitioned into the main dining room and enjoyed some steaks. I think that was the last time that a burger was served, in the Golden Steer, was with Elvis. So in that case, not on the menu anymore. Of course, everyone has, loves kind of the tableside Caesar salad, the shrimp cocktail, the New York strip, is something that has been on the menu for decades. And was one of Sinatra's favorite dishes, with a little bit of tomato on top, sauteed tomato. So, you know, the earliest menu that we have is from, I think, the early 60s, I will say. And it's wild to see. I mean, of course, the prices have changed a little bit, but by and large, I would say about 60% of the menu is the same. It's always been a establishment and restaurant that has prided itself on great wholesome ingredients, simply prepared with a blend of hopefully amazing hospitality and warmth. And so, and even that, you know, harkens back to some of the early, and we have some menus, I think, from the 70s and 80s as well. So it's always fun to kind of go back and see what the plate of the day was. I think it's sometimes we served pheasant. Yeah, a couple of other crazy menu items over there. We talked about the rattlesnakes, a rattlesnake, of course, as well.
And you guys still honor those celebrities as well, which I thought was really cool. I mean, when my wife and I went there for dinner a few years ago, we sat in Joe DiMaggio's booth, and it was really kind of cool to look around and see that, again, you guys have held on to that heritage. And I mean, how cool would it be to be able to tell your friends that you had dinner sitting in Frank Sinatra's booth?
It is. And, you know, we have a many of the booths in the restaurant are named for the celebrities that have come in and dined. So you mentioned a couple, you know, Joe DiMaggio, Marilyn Monroe. We have Elvis. We have Muhammad Ali, who celebrated a couple of his birthdays with us. We have Mario Andretti, who every year for SEMA likes to come in and dine with us, which is fantastic. Ralph Lamb, who was a sheriff here for a long, long time, and did his battles with the mob and the craziness of the 70s and 80s. So it's, and of course, the Rat Pack. And, you know, we also have some other folks that are a little more recent. So Terry Fader, the famous entertainer and puppeteer and comedian, has a booth. Mr. William Baxter, who has one of my favorite stories, who is a professional poker player and actually sued the United States federal government, arguing that that poker is a game of skill and not a game of chance. And so it should be taxed as income instead of gambling winnings. And actually, I believe it went all the way to the Supreme Court and he ended up prevailing and so changed kind of the tax structure for poker players, which Vegas is still a very libertarian kind of Wild West town in some respects. And so that is always a fun story that I like to tell people, because most people that come in, they'll recognize, you know, a Frank Sinatra or a Muhammad Ali or an Elvis or a Sammy Davis, but don't recognize the name Baxter. And so it's always a fun story to tell.
So what happens then when, say, for example, I, as a huge race car fan and motorsports enthusiast, phone you guys and say, I would like to sit in Mario Andretti's booth, and you say, fine, that's fine. Here it is. It's available on this date. And then after I make that reservation, Mr. Andretti calls and says, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'd like to come have dinner and I want to sit in my booth. How does that go down? Do I get moved? Does Mr. Andretti get moved? How is that handled?
You know, it's funny. So, you know, we always will do everything that we can to accommodate. And normally they're pretty good about calling and give us a little bit of a advance notice. The funny story. So the restaurant has been in my in-laws family for about 20 plus years. My wife and I came out a year before COVID to take it over. And the funny story about actually Mario Andretti with my father-in-law is that right after my father-in-law had picked up the restaurant, somebody claiming to be Mario Andretti called and he answered the phone, and the gentleman on the other line was like, hi, this is Mario Andretti. I'd like to come in for dinner tonight. And my father-in-law is, you know, a little skeptical, like, okay, well, Mario Andretti is calling to make a reservation. And so my father-in-law was like, all right, well, if you're Mario Andretti, I'm Wyatt Earp. And so I'll see you tonight when you come into the restaurant. And so my father-in-law was sitting in the office, and one of the hosts comes in and knocks on the door and says, somebody's at the door and they're asking for Wyatt Earp. And so he walks out, and sure enough, Mario Andretti is standing there waiting for his table. And so it's kicked off a good natured friendship with him, and he always likes to come in and support. It's a ton of fun. And so, yes, we always like to make room for those folks, and we certainly appreciate their support as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the connection between the mob and the Golden Steer. Vegas, of course, synonymous with mob history. I've covered it in depth in the podcast. I've had numerous discussions about various facets of mob history and that connection in Las Vegas. The Golden Steer has a very dubious connection with one particular mobster, and that would be the legendary Tony Spilotro.
Old Mr. Spilotro. Yeah. So there is a number of great resources out on Tony Spilotro. So he's originally from Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago as well. But anyway, in the 70s, so he came out to be an enforcer for the Chicago mob, and needed some other things to do and wanted to make a little side money. And so he actually opened up a jewelry shop where he would fence his stolen goods, which was called the Gold Rush. And the Gold Rush was actually very close to the Golden Steer. And so he would come in on a frequent basis, whether it was for business dinners or for, with his crew to come and enjoy. And of course, one of his number one hitmen was Frank Colata. And the story of Frank Colata is crazy as well. You know, the history that he had both in the mob and then, of course, his time after the mob. But they used to love to come into the Golden Steer. They would come in about once a week. Booth one is where they used to like to sit. It's in the corner of the restaurant, so you can get a great purview of the entire restaurant. It's also close to, at the time, when they first started coming in, there hadn't been some expansion done. And so there was a kind of a back hallway that wove through the kitchen and was an easy way to escape if that was a necessity. And we believe that he actually celebrated his last meal in Vegas, the Golden Steer, the night before he flew back to the Midwest. Before he met his demise. And so we've kind of, the nickname of kind of the Last Supper has kind of stuck. And so, so that was on the Splotcher side. And then of course, Frank used to come in as well, with Tony, and then afterwards, without him, and even up to, I think he passed away. I think it was the summer. It was one of the last couple of summers. But even before, right up until the time that he passed, he would come in and would request one very specific waiter to wait on him, who's one of our longest tenured employees. He's been with us for almost 40 years. So it's always, I will say that, the thing that with the Steer is that we were always known as kind of neutral ground. And so we generally would see folks from, there were various mob families that were in Vegas throughout the years, but the restaurant remained decidedly neutral. And so we would see folks from kind of across the families, but of course, Mr. Splotcher being the most well-known for sure.
You mentioned the staff there briefly and having a staff member that's been at the restaurant for 40 plus years. I'm assuming he is your longest serving staff member.
He is. I think it's tied between him. It's very close between him and our executive chef Sergio, who are both, I think, 35 plus years. It's fun that we have, front of house and back of house. Vanko is one of our most requested servers. There's a tremendous amount of stories. He's been in the city for a long time. He was in Vegas long before he started at the Golden Steer all those years ago. It's been with us for almost 40 years now.
I can only imagine the stories that he would have. And I mean, it's got to be crazy when he starts serving a table. And I know for me personally, if I have a server that's interesting, I mean, you want to hear the stories and you want to talk to them, but at the same time, you got to understand they got jobs to do.
He does a tremendous job, and it is an art form and he's, I think there was, we were talking with him a couple weeks ago and trying to estimate the number of Caesar salads that he has made. And we think it's somewhere on the order of like hundreds of thousands. I think the number we came up with was like 250,000 Caesar salads that he has made in his lifetime. And it's one of the special things I think about the Golden Steer is, and this tableside service, is that you have this built-in kind of opportunity to have, to hear a little bit of stories about the restaurant. And it's one of the reasons that, Vanko is requested so often, is because he does have those stories, and he did wait on those celebrities that have come through the door. And as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, Frank Colada would really only allow Ivanko to wait on him. And so it's a ton of fun. And I think it adds to kind of that ambiance and that service that people have come to love about the steer is that element of personality, and that they're right there for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes as they're preparing, which what is also a fabulous salad, but then also kind of getting the experience and the stories during that time. And so Vanko does a tremendous job of ensuring to spend some time and tell a story or two, but then also being able to ensure that all the rest of the tables are getting the service that they come to expect.
That kind of longevity at a restaurant is, I mean, never mind a Vegas restaurant, but a restaurant period is unheard of. What do you think it is that keeps people there for that length of time?
So that's a great question. And I think, you know, I think the type of restaurant that the steer is one element of it, right? There's not, and especially in Vegas, in a town that things transition so quickly, there aren't a lot of things that have been around for a while. And so I think that's one element, the old school service that we keep, you know, the white tablecloths and the red leather banquettes and the booths are all things that people love and enjoy. And I think we strive to you know, treat everyone and ensure that we are providing a good environment for folks so that they can build careers with us at the Golden Steer. I think those are some of the reasons. And I would say, you know, it's a very, I would say, kind of familial atmosphere. Of course, we're a family-owned business. There's not many of them in Vegas and certainly not many on the Strip, which I think is a unique element. We also have a lot of brothers and cousins and aunts and uncles, not of us, but kind of other staff members that are employed. And which I think is a part of it too, right? It creates kind of that sense of almost that sense of family, if you will, and sometimes in a very literal sense. And so I think all of those things kind of come together, and, you know, the magic of Vegas, you know, not being from Vegas and then coming out here, you know, what struck me, one of the things that struck me the most was just how much Vegas is a story town. Everyone here seems to have a story. And so I think the opportunity to be in an establishment that kind of celebrates the stories and lore of Las Vegas is something as well for you know, and we talked about Vanko, we talked about Sergio that have been with us for, you know, almost 40 years, but we have, you know, a number of other staff members that have been with us for, you know, 25, 20, 15 years. And so it kind of builds kind of into that culture of folks that, you know, they come in, they work tremendously hard, and, you know, are able to stick with us for a long time, which we, of course, appreciate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We touched briefly on the transitional nature of Vegas, whether it's the people or the businesses and the establishments. I mean, it's not uncommon for even frequent visitors like myself to go to town, find a place that we really, really like. And then on our next visit, poof, the place is gone, vanished from existence. And really, Vegas has been through a lot over the last several decades, from trying to reinvent itself as a family-friendly destination to global crises like 9/11 and then financial crashes that resulted in huge drops in visitorship. And then, of course, most recently, the COVID-19 pandemic. Yet somehow, the golden steer has continued to persevere. I'm going to ask the question that's probably been asked dozens of times. How has the steer survived all of these different things?
Yeah, you know, we do get that question quite frequently. And I think, first and foremost, tremendous hats off and respect to, both the previous owner and my father-in-law for getting through some very hard times. Vegas through, the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s was a challenging time. And, there were lots of ups and downs. Certainly I think my father-in-law, the restaurant, they kind of closed like a week or two or some short time right before 9/11. And so of course that hit the town very hard. I remember talking to guests that would come in, right after that, right after 9/11 and, telling me that, I remember there was only, four people here. Cause Vegas was a ghost town. And so no one was out. It was challenging, and quite frankly, it took a lot of money to kind of get through that. And so, and patience, and, then of course Vegas recovered through the 2000s. And then, we had the awful crash of 08 and 09, which hit the city tremendously hard. It took, almost a decade for real estate values to recover and things to kind of come back. I think it has certainly been through its fair share of ups and downs throughout the years. And I think, a sense of fortitude and, kind of just digging in and saying, we're not going to let this thing, whatever this thing be, whether it was, craziness of the 70s or 9/11 or the great financial recession of 08 and 09 or COVID, quite frankly. And so, it seems the hope is that with each thing that we manage to survive, that the restaurant becomes a little stronger, a little hardened against anything the future might throw against us. So it's been a wild time. There's some crazy stories of, customers remembering coming in with three or four tables being full, versus now, we're fortunate that we're booking up for prime time a couple of weeks in advance. And so it's been, I should say, of course, the previous owners, the Kalugins, father-in-law, have done a tremendous job. And we also appreciate and support and respect the staff for kind of sticking with us, right? We talked about bank-owned Sergio being with us for 40 years through some of those trying times. And so there's also an element of a kind of everyone kind of digging in and kind of pushing through, which, again, is incredibly appreciated.
Do you think that you guys being a family-run place, a small business, have a little bit of an advantage over some of the big corporate places in that I sometimes wonder if the smaller businesses are a little more willing to ride out the tough times? I mean, it's not that you guys aren't looking at your bottom line. You're not looking at profits and losses and money and things like that, but you're maybe willing to just ride it out a little bit longer than, say, one of the big corporately run celebrity chef places inside a casino, where a casino might look at that and say, we're losing money here. We could tear this place out and put 50 slot machines in and make the money back that way, as opposed to, quote unquote, wasting the space on a money losing venture.
I think so. Of course, I'm a little biased, but I think so. I think, at the end of the day, it's our livelihood. And so versus So we are just fundamentally going to approach and think about it differently versus, you know, a large corporation is going to look at it kind of probably just, you know, the P&L is going to be the main driver there. And they're going to, you know, make their livelihood in some other capacity. And so I think it not only does it provide us a different kind of decision-making calculus, but it also allows us to be far more nimble in what we want to do, how we want to figure things out. And one example that is kind of an interesting one to use, but so during the pandemic, of course, we had capacity restrictions that we, like all restaurants, that were grappling with. And so, you know, one of the things that we did to try and make it, you know, I would say make it a little more Las Vegas was we brought in mannequins. And so in the booths that we kept empty, we put mannequins that looked like the booth that they were sitting in. So we had, you know, in the we shut down the Marilyn Monroe booth. And so we had a mannequin that looked like Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio. And we got, you know, the New York Yankees, jersey that we put on Joe DiMaggio. And we, you know, got a dress for Marilyn, and we had Elvis sitting in his booth. And, you know, we had some folks that looked close enough to the Rat Pack sitting in some of their booths, and, you know, just trying to have, you know, bring a little levity to the situation for one, but also kind of make it, you know, add to the experience, which, because we are at a smaller scale, allows us to do, certainly a little more streamlined, and also to make that decision a little quicker, right? We didn't have to go get it approved from, you know, six different budgets. We could just say, hey, we're going to go do this. And, you know, we worked with a wonderful, local company, Las Vegas Mannequins, who, you know, I'm not from this town. And so it was surprising to me, but that is what they do. They have this enormous warehouse that provides mannequins for all walks of ideas. And so it was news to us, slightly surprising that there was a small business in Vegas dedicated to it, but it was tremendous, and it was great to work with them.
Your phone call is probably not the strangest phone call they've ever gotten.
So definitely not. Definitely, I can't imagine over the years the stories that they have of what folks have asked for. So ours was probably pretty tame in the grand scheme of things.
For people who haven't been to the Golden Stair, I mean, I've been. My wife and I went a couple of years ago for a birthday dinner, and it was 2019 when we went, December 2019, so coming up almost 3 years, and my wife and I still talk about that experience eating there, and when we go out and we share Vegas stories with friends, we talk about the table side preparation of the Caesar salad and the bananas Foster and the person next to us at the table that ordered fish, which I say is crazy, ordering fish at a steakhouse, but them ordering fish the way it was filleted table side by a guy with a fork and a spoon, that made us want to order fish from a steak restaurant. And so, I mean, for folks that haven't been and haven't had that experience, what really sets the Golden Stair apart from any other steakhouse in Vegas? I mean, is it the food? Is it the atmosphere? Is it the staff? Is it all of the above?
So, you know, the easy answer and probably the less exciting answer is all of it, right? I think it truly is all of that. I think, you know, we get a tremendous amount of compliments, of course, on the food and the men and women in the kitchen do from top to bottom, from dishwasher up through executive chef, do a tremendous job of producing an incredible product on a highly consistent basis. But we also get just a tremendous amount of compliments on the service. And I think, you know, I think that is one of the things that helps sets us apart is this intense focus on service, right? So, you know, the way that we do service is broken up into teams. But each team is comprised of three servers that are all kind of equal, if you will. And yes, they kind of on a given night, they will kind of divvy up the jobs, you know, for how they're going to do it. But every server can do every position. And I think that brings a tremendous energy and just level of experience to it. And we continue to strive to ensure, of course, that the restaurant looks the way that it has over the years, but of course, still has looks tremendous and doesn't show its age, right? Of course, we want it to look like vintage Vegas, but we don't want it to look like it's actually, you know, the stuff is from the 70s. And so we do a tremendous amount of, we spend a lot of time, effort, and energy polishing and ensuring that things look great. So I think those are, I do think because we are family owned, we can, you know, bring that sense of kind of independentness, if you will, to an area that just doesn't have that much. It certainly used to or has over the years, but there's not very many independent restaurants that are left, at least closer on the strip. And I think we believe that there is an element to kind of the old school dining, the white tablecloths. We have a dress code that we enforce. And it's, you know, we also acknowledge that we're in Vegas, right? So we can't, so shorts are okay. As long as they're not athletic shorts. We don't allow open toed shoes for gentlemen. But I think to that end, but we try and provide an option, right? So we have these little booties, for lack of a better term, that we provide to folks so that they can still have their experience. And I think it's that little element of like, hey, here's kind of the rules and the dress code for it. But in an element of hospitality, we never want to turn folks away. And so we try and provide some optionality for folks to be able to still enjoy their experience. And I think it's going that kind of extra mile that I think is a tremendous part of it as well.
When you talk about handing out little booties, temporary shoes, if you will, to people who aren't wearing the appropriate footwear, it reminds me of every sitcom or movie where somebody shows up at the exclusive country club or the exclusive restaurant where the rule is you have to be wearing a jacket and they're not wearing one. So they have like a whole room full of jackets that you can wear as loner jackets to try on while you're sitting there enjoying your time at the club.
100%. And, most folks are completely understand and have a good laugh about it. So I think it's that element. It's the element of let's get dressed up and let's go to dinner. We make it an experience. We talk about it. And, we're fortunate enough that the restaurant has been around for 64 years and all of these crazy things have happened both in the town and in the restaurant. And it has kind of that weight of history, which is fun. And, the table we talked about, but like the tableside Caesar salad and the tableside, the preparation for the Dover sole or the Chateaubriand that gets carved tableside and the bananas Foster that will flambe or the cherries Jubilee that will flambe. And so, it ends up becoming kind of that dinner and almost a show element. And, to have Vanco make your Caesar salad on, it's his 271,000th, Caesar salad and to tell you about, some of the stories and celebrities that he's weighed on over the years, I think kind of just adds to that mystique and that, that kind of element that makes it special.
Well, as I say, it's been almost 3 years since my wife and I had dinner at the Golden Steer and we're still talking about it to this day. And my wife swears up and down that it's the best steak that she's ever had, which I'll freely admit, I take a little bit personally because I like to believe that I cook a mean steak, but in all honesty, it was the best steak that I've ever had as well. And it was just such an incredible experience. Everything from, we talked about the service and the fact that at any given time we had like three waiters waiting on us and serving us and treating us like family. It really was just an incredible dining experience and one that we will probably never forget.
Oh, we appreciate that immensely. And, you know, so we would be remiss if I didn't talk, of course, for a steakhouse, so I didn't talk a little bit about kind of the beef and the steak. And so we hand carve virtually all of our steaks, right? And they're cut that day. And so we get the subprimals in. So we, you know, for ribeyes, which is our signature cut, we get the full rib in and then we slice it up for service that day. So that, you know, the steak that you're eating or any customer is eating on a given day probably was cut that day. And so there's an element of freshness to it. And we, you know, it's interesting. We cook all of our steaks on a broiler, which, you know, I love to cook a steak on a grill, of course, but the interesting thing and the thing that I love and have come to appreciate about broiler cooking is, one, it's very easy to, you know, the kind of the stainless steel tray and grates that the steak is sitting on is adjustable. So we can move it, further or closer to the heat as needed. But also the heat sources from above, right? And so one of the challenges, especially with well marbled beef, so we only use USDA prime beef, is you get flare ups, right? The fat melts down and especially in a grill cooking, it can cause flare ups, which can cause some bad charring if you're not very careful. And so one of the things that I think is tremendous about broiler cooking, especially, you know, in their commercial broilers, so they start out a tremendous amount of heat, so you still get a good char, is that you don't get those flare-ups, right? All of the grease melts down, the heat source is coming from above, and so you don't have to worry about that element. And so I think that's super unique. And, you know, we wet age our beef for, you know, a minimum of 28 days, which allows the beef to get tender, right? I think it's not something that is easily, that you can easily find, because you kind of have to sit on that product for a little bit. And so it brings a great amount of tenderness, especially to something like a ribeye, right? Where a ribeye is fatty and that's why you're ordering it, because it, you know, has this great amount of marbling, and, you know, in between the rib cap there's that kind of vein of fat as well. But one of the great things about wet aging is it kind of allows that to break down a little bit and tenderize the beef, which is, you know, just which is perfect, especially on a ribeye. So it's, you know, and we've, you know, the other question we get a lot is, you know, where do we get our beef? And we've worked with the same supplier for as long as really anyone can remember. So the current president of the company started as a sales rep decades ago, and he remembers the Golden Steer being a customer at that time. And so, you know, we have a great relationship with them. Our cattle comes from, you know, the Midwest, so Nebraska and Eastern Colorado. And it's a ton of fun. And, you know, since you've dined with us, the one thing that we have added is a special. So we have a tomahawk now. It's about 40 ounces. It comes from Creekstone Farms, which one of the unique things about Creekstone is it does actual genetic testing of all of its heads of cattle to ensure, you know, that it is truly pure Black Angus, or Angus beef. And so that gives it that marbling that we all want. And so it is a tremendous cut. And it's a ton of fun, of course, for it to get served because it comes with the long bone and we slice it up in the kitchen and it comes with a little bit of salt. And it's just a perfect way, and of course, you know, it's 40 ounces. So it's enough for a dinner for two.
You say it's enough for two, but I'm willing to try to take that bad boy down.
From time to time, we do get someone in that wants to tackle it. And I would say, you know, from an ounces perspective, it's not, you know, you can, you know, 40 ounces is a lot, but it also, it's at the end of the day, it's a tomahawk ribeye, and so it has a good amount of fat as well. Now the fat is delicious, but that can also make it a little challenging. But it is one of my favorite cuts for sure.
I'm starting to drool on my keyboard here, Nick, so I think we should probably wrap this up. what's in store for the Golden Steer? What's in the future for the restaurant?
Yeah, so for the location on 308 Sahara is just continuing to do more of everything that we have done for the past 64 years. We don't see much changes there, of course. During COVID, we launched an e-commerce company, so the Golden Steer Steak Company, which we ship our steak, seafood, and seasoning nationwide. So we've been doing that for we just passed 2 years, which has been going really well, really helping us to kind of talk about the Golden Steer at a national level. And allow, you know, the pandemic was challenging for everyone, right? Of course, for us in the restaurant industry, but I think for the entire world. So we tried to figure out how to navigate and manage these, you know, unprecedented times. And so one of the things that we all kind of looked at each other and said is, if people can't come to Vegas, then let's bring Vegas to them. And so, you know, steaks and seafood, we have some of the sides, of course, that we'll ship as well. Seasonings and really, and, you know, we did it with the Golden Steer touch, right? And so, you know, some of the boxes have some embroidered napkins that come with in the box, and they all come with, like, you know, a Spotify playlist that is, you know, sounds of the steer. So you can set it up to you know, to set the mood. It's been a tough, and, you know, I think that's a great example of the question that we talked about earlier. How do we stay nimble, or what are the advantages of being kind of small and independent, is that we can be very nimble and kind of make some of those investments. And so, you know, for the, what does the future hold? I think, you know, we now have this national presence with the steak company, and can reach, you know, all in the 48 contiguous states. We can't quite ship to Canada yet, but I certainly, as soon as we're able to figure that one out, I will let you know. But who knows? I think there is, we believe, a tremendous amount of demand for the old type of this old school fine dining. And so we'll kind of see where that takes us here in the next couple of years. But certainly for the Las Vegas location, we will continue to do what we've been doing for the past 64 years, hopefully for another 64 years.
Excellent, Nick. Thank you so much again for taking time to jump on. I really do appreciate it. And next time I'm in town, man, I want to tackle that tomahawk.
Please do. Please let us know when you're coming into town. And thank you very much for having me on today. It's been awesome to chat with you, get to know you, and chat a little bit about the Golden Steer.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.